Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Multi-Choice Group, well-known broadcasting network, but more so a technology platform, has published its financial results. We've reached out to the team. We understand it's a very busy time for the executives and key members of the institution. But we thought let's have a good conversation with a good friend and colleague of ours to help us unpack and analyze some of the dynamics and key metrics of the numbers that have been published today. Mudiwa Gavaza, business writer for the Business Day and Financial Mail, joins us now to tell us more. Mudiwa, taskwera. I'll continue practicing a little bit more. I'll brush up on my Shona, but it's lovely to speak to you again. We've been touching base on MultiChoice over the last few months with the ongoing developments of Canal Plus. Very busy day for executives. I understand there's a lot going on in the background. But despite that, we have the numbers and they've been out. 1.8 billion Rand reported in profit, which is a nice turnaround following 2 years of what's been a very difficult environment for them. But you are closer to the business than I. What stood out for you in terms of the metrics?
So there's a lot to unpack when it comes to what's happening with MultiChoice. We were sitting and waiting for them to release their results. They usually do it at 1 p.m. Yeah. On the day of release, but we had to wait until 4 p.m. So it didn't give us, you know, that much time to absorb what was going on.
Just on that, Mudiwa, is there anything, you know, does it allude to anything peculiar, unusual, given the delayed release?
I know that, you know, such things tend to spur rumors about how bad, you know, can the results be and all of that stuff. But I would just temper to say that sometimes companies just face an admin problem with, you know, with the JSC sometimes. For us, the red flag tends to be companies that try and, you know, slip an announcement in at 5:45.
Yes.
Especially on a Friday. Those are the red flags for some of us.
I completely agree. But as you said, the numbers came out a little later than usual. And if I'm honest, not as bad as I had initially anticipated, because looking at a slight uptick in their profit, it really does come from austerity measures that the business has introduced in the last year.
Yeah, so the one of the biggest problems, you know, when it comes to MultiChoice specifically is how they, you know, measure their profitability, right? Because we can talk about the 1.8 and things will be well, mm-hmm. and things will be sounding good. However, when you look at their preferred profit metric, right, which is adjusted core headline earnings, right, they were down over 100%. I would actually venture and say, over 100%. Let's call it 140, 150% down on that specific metric. So not good on some of those things. Your revenue is down. Your subscribers down, albeit slow, mm-hmm. Down at a slower rate. So, yes. The results won't be as bad as what we had expected, because I think if we took the interim results up to September, mm-hmm. Had that momentum continued fully, we would be in a much worse position. So, yes, I would say that it's a slightly better picture than many of us expected.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned this because, as you say, there are different metrics and ways of actually analyzing their profit in terms of the outcomes that have been shared. What also caught my attention was definitely the top line negative impact of local currency depreciation. And we typically see this with many businesses that operate across the continent, notably the likes of MTN, who've also been very vocal about it. But doing business in markets outside of South Africa does come with its own pressure points when you're dealing with local currency, Ghanaian cedis, Nigerian naira, currency in the Zambian economy, all of that really, you know, coming at a significant cost given the depreciation of those local currencies.
It certainly does. And for MultiChoice, it's made even worse by the number of territories, yes. You know, that they operate in. When you are an MTN, you have a couple of, you know, big countries such as Nigeria and Ghana, which are going to influence, you know, a significant portion. Let's call it up to, you know, 55, 60%, you know, of your earnings. But when you're multi-choice, you've got just under half of the business coming from South Africa, and then the other half coming from a balance of, let's say, 48, almost 50 countries. And all of those countries are emerging market countries. And, you know, the US dollar strength over the last year or so hasn't done well for many of those countries. So you see this, depreciation, which is why MultiChoice would then say, well, on an organic basis, we were able to slightly grow our revenue by 1%. But on a reported basis, which means when you translate, you are down 5 billion rand, which is roughly 9%. So these currency fluctuations, this is how, you know, most of the time when we're quoting these exchange rates, it sounds very abstract.
Yes.
But this gives us a little bit of a concrete picture into how those things translate on the ground.
Got you. Let's talk about the, I guess, customer experience and, you know, impact on the ground. If we do take a look at their subscription fees, some pressure that's also come through in that environment, and even their trading profit from a South African point of view, seeing slight pressure that's taken place there. Mudiwa, does this just mean that we as consumers are spoiled for choice when it comes to options available for streaming?
I think it does, but one of the things that's at least still good, at least in a country like South Africa, when I look at the numbers here, you're looking at 7.6 million subscribers. But when you look at how MultiChoice reports their subscribers, they don't necessarily say 7.6 million subscribers as one subscriber. They look at households, right? Because when you look at a product like your DSTV, it tends to be at a household level. And if you're looking at maybe four or five people on average in a household, you're looking at 35, 40 million people that are covered by this product. And when consumers are under pressure, unfortunately, entertainment is one of the things that's easy to just switch off and say, hey, you know, we'll just cut the subscription for now. Plus, at the same time, what you're talking about on the top end of that market, you've got customers that are not even there's price sensitivity, but I'd actually say they're a bit more fluid about where they get their entertainment. I could literally subscribe for Amazon Prime Video just to watch one show, and then once I'm done with it, maybe suspend my subscription until something else comes, which is why when it comes to big sporting events, your World Cups, your Olympics, MultiChoice tends to see huge uptick in DSTV subscriptions and stuff like that. So I would say the fluidity does speak to what you're saying. There is a lot of choice in the market, so it's a cocktail, of all of these factors that are working, against MultiChoice in this particular instance. Though they do say that they reported 40% increase, more than 40% increase rather, on Showmax, which I think would be a positive. However, I would love to know what that base is,
yes,
that we're measuring that 40% increase on.
100%. Mudiwa, you know as much as I know and the rest of the market knows about the deal with Canal Plus. As we've last gotten an update formally from the Competition Commission, they essentially giving it the thumbs up with a few conditions in place. I'm just intrigued here. I just saw a headline from Tech African News 2 days ago about Canal Plus looking to extend its partnership with Netflix in French-speaking areas of Africa. So seems like, yeah, man, Canal Plus is really looking at becoming a huge juggernaut within this particular place. Should the deal with MultiChoice go ahead?
It definitely does. One of the things that I think people need to contextualize in their minds is that when it comes to video entertainment in Africa, no one has better distribution than MultiChoice.
Yes.
When you have a business that operates in 50 countries, right, that's a presence in all of those countries. And I think the last that I saw, Canal Plus had about 26 or 27 countries in which it operates on the continent. So you ask yourself, right, do you go and plant a flag in the remaining, 20 to 25 markets for you to match MultiChoice's distribution, or do you just go ahead and use your euro strength against the rand to go and acquire, this huge distribution channel, and then have a huge foothold in Anglophone countries, to up your position, because they're already quite prevalent in Francophone countries. Now you just need the missing piece, which is the Anglophone countries. Plus, at the same time, MultiChoice helps them to entrench themselves even further in those Francophone countries where they do exist. So I would say if anyone is really benefiting from this deal, it's them as Canal Plus.
Oh, 100%. And I think more than anything underscores what we have known as South Africans and perhaps continue to see in the development and growth of MultiChoice and many South African-born businesses. They really are the champions that they think they are, because they not only build homegrown businesses, entrench themselves across the rest of the continent, understand the local environment, become globally competitive. And as you've described, it just makes it so much easier for an international player, instead of competing with them, to either partner or just buy them out, and then capitalize on the skeleton structure and the muscle mass, essentially, that the local businesses do have. So it's an interesting one, Modiwa. We'll be watching this very closely. You and I both, I imagine.
Most definitely.
Thank you again for your time. That's Modiwa Gavaza, business writer for The Business Day and Financial Mail, joining us tonight as we discuss MultiChoice's results. Interesting bag, interesting times as well. And if you want to get more perspective on what I've described around the mergers and acquisition environment in South Africa, and essentially why we see such prominent South African businesses at times getting bought out, do take a listen back to our rewinds available on our website, kaya959.co.za. Under the Kaya Biz channel, a conversation we had on the 27th of May with Andrew Bauman, Chief Executive of Corporate and Advisory at Deal Leaders International. We had a significant conversation just for you to have a better understanding of the opportunities that exist in terms of mergers and acquisitions in South Africa and across the continent. It's not just about Canal Plus and MultiChoice. Think of AB and Bev when they bought a stake in SAB. Walmart buying into Massmart. Think of Heineken when it bought into Distal. Even when we saw some shifts in our mining entities, this speaks to the fact that it's easier for the international competitors. Instead of fighting a homegrown champion on their home turf, you rather partner with them or buy them out in order to gain the mass and scale that you need. But share your thoughts. Your thoughts on MultiChoice, your experience as a subscriber. Are you enjoying the content? Are you looking at other streaming platforms? Do you have multiple streaming platforms? Are there particular shows that you enjoy on the MultiChoice platforms? Outside of their content, are you using some of the other tools they have? The insurance cover they would provide for your DSTV decoder, maybe even the sports betting activity as well. Let us know. We want to know your thoughts. That's exactly what Desh did on 063-688-0959.
Impacting your life.
Morning, Cisco. Afternoon, afternoon, Cisco. Coming to MultiChoice, I was once a member, and then because of due to soccer, 90% sports, it was not all about the movies, and because Lapo, they are not showing us good things. And now I moved in a year in MultiChoice due to, I believe their treatment, it was very, very, very painful, considering Uguti, they know when you're supposed to pay. But when their gadgets and things are expiring, they will never inform you, stress, you coming from work, you're trying all the things that you know, you even call. The third one, probably decoder yako has expired. And I'm like, guys, but how can you know who think better than in that? It, yeah. You don't even know when it's expiring.
Very true. We appreciate your voice note. And as you say, that's been your customer experience with the likes of MultiChoice. And of course, we're quite keen. At some point, we will hear from the executives when they are available to speak. And we'll put these questions to them. You know, how is it that they are making sure that they understand your needs as a consumer, as a customer, to make sure that they address you and meet you where you are. But share your thoughts. 063-688-0959. Always looking forward to hearing what you have to say on the show. Stay with us when we come back from this brief ad break. We're going to come back to give you some insight into illicit alcohol sales in South Africa. You might have heard the team on Seize the World discuss this on Monday. Today we build up on it. The fact that nearly one in five alcoholic drinks sold in South Africa is illegal and fake.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.